15. We'll stand again in just a moment as we read the Word of God. I'm excited about our new purpose statement, kind of communicated in this theme here, C3. And if you weren't here last several weeks, we've been talking about this idea of C3 and how it's very important to the church that we focus on that which matters, not just necessarily on the church being a social club or an elite group of people or a congregation of hypocrites, see who can be the more holy of everybody else, but really what is the church supposed to do? And we came up with these three things. Number one on the list there, not necessarily in any particular order, but is caring. We must care one for another, that we must be invested into the needs of other people to the point where we are willing to help, not just where, well, I wish I could do something, but where we try to do something. The next thing that you'll see is connecting. It makes for a sad existence when we're not connected to anything else, doesn't it? And we are social human beings. We're supposed to connect other people, connect other things. And primarily as Christians, we're supposed to connect people to Jesus Christ one way or the other. And in order to do that, we must have relationships. And so we're talking about caring, talking about connecting. And then lastly, you see communicating. Unless we communicate Christ, the caring that we do and the connecting that we do can possibly be in vain. Because all we're doing is we're caring for somebody on an intellectual level or just because we're invested in people, it's a humane thing to do. And we're connecting with people. We can connect with them in a number of ways over a football team or so on and so forth. But we leave Christ out of the equation. We can even communicate, but if we don't communicate Christ, all three of these areas are centered on Jesus Christ. And so today we're not just going to talk about what C3 is. Next week, Lord willing, I'll start my series on Genesis. It will be in the very, very beginning. I plan to do that today, but I couldn't get away from this idea of C3. And I want to preach to you this morning, not on what C3 is, but on what C3 is not. So if you're there in Matthew 15, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. This is what's going on. You'll catch right up when you start in verse number 1 of chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Father in heaven, I ask again that you will bless this service. Bless the preaching time now. Communicate the word of God through me, your preacher. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Then, Mr. Ted, if I get you to turn down this microphone just a touch, I feel like if I raise my voice, I'll blow everybody out. Many times, a thing can be clarified by what it is not as much as it can be clarified by what it is. If a person has no previous experience with something, it can be helpful to tell them what it is by telling them what it is not. So you're trying to explain a cat to a small child. So, what is a cat, Dad? So, well, a cat is an animal. But a cat is not a dog. Can I get an amen? Cat's not a dog. Oh, okay. You might say, well, it is a pet. And maybe if the kid is used to a dog and loves to squeeze a dog and the dog just kind of sits there and takes it like dogs will, so, well, it is a pet, but it is not to be squeezed. Amen. Try squeezing a cat and see what happens to you. Claws hurt. Let's just leave it there. How about a gun? Trying to explain a gun to somebody. Well, what was a gun, Dad? Or what was a gun, Mom? So, well, a gun is a weapon. A gun is not alive. It's not responsible for its own action. That's the person who's holding the gun. I'll leave that one right there. A gun can be fun. Amen? Anybody else? I'm the only one that likes shooting guns. A gun can be fun.
Amen.
All right, appreciate that. We got a couple of them. All right, I enjoy shooting. I think it's a lot of fun. I shoot at clays and targets and things like that. Gun can be fun. But a gun is not a toy. Isn't that true? We could say that we can help clarify what a gun is by telling him it is not a toy. You can say, how about your phone? So, well, this phone is a tool, son. He says, oh, okay. Just like a hammer, right? Oh, no, son. It's not a hammer. It's not a screwdriver. It's not a pry bar. You don't take this and bang on anything with it. Too expensive for that. So it is a tool, but it's not that kind of tool. See, it is a communication device. You can talk to people on your phone, really? But you can't talk to creepy strangers on your phone, son. Oh, okay. All right. So it is for something. It's not for something. We can define things that way. You know, and we could do this with a car. I think I wrote that down. It is a mode of transportation. It's not designed to fly, although some teenagers try to make it fly. It is faster than walking. It's not faster than flying. It is easy to maintain. It's not easy to rebuild. Is and not, things like that. But we all do this with people, couldn't we? Trying to describe a person, we can say what they are, sometimes by saying what they're not. And this could be a number of things, but I don't know. We'll just pick an easy one. I could say Miss Wendy. I could say Miss Wendy is not an Oakland Raiders fan. She would say, oh yeah, that's true. I could say she is a Denver Broncos fan. Why can you describe people that way? You say, this person is this person is not this person is a great vocalist, or this person, you ought not have them sing, okay? We could describe people a bunch of different ways. This person is, this person is not. Sometimes saying what it is not is helpful to our understanding of that person or that object that we're describing. C3 is the theme of our mission statement. Our mission statement, again, is written on the poster outside, but it is this: our purpose is to communicate God's love to our community, to connect people to Christ through teaching and worship, and to care for each other through the church. That's our mission statement. That's what it is. What is C3 not? Well, I've got three things this morning that I want to share with you that I want you to understand fully that C3 is not. I'm not making any promises, but I have only 2 pages of notes. We may get out a little earlier than normal, but I'm only going to do that if I make sure we understand these three things very, very well. Understand these three things that C3 is not. Number one, C3 is not a program that is powered by precept. In our passage today, you noticed with me that the Pharisees were rebuked by Jesus Christ that the same attitude as the people of Israel back in Isaiah's day when Isaiah prophesied against them. And he told them, basically, you're teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, or the verbiage in Isaiah is the precepts of men. C3 is not that. It is not a program that is powered by precept. In other words, it's not a program that we're using that is powered by the commands that we give. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Step one, step two, step three, success. That's not what this is. C3 is not a program that's powered by precept. It's not something that we're going to be successful in just because some preacher yells a lot. Now, you may be thinking, if you've been in church for a while, or maybe if you've been exposed to church of previous generations, and not necessarily all churches, I'm thankful for that, but there are some that obviously were powered by precept. You must do this, you must not do this, that's the way it is. And they usually have something like bless God in there, which in my opinion is just using his name in vain. But they would say those things. This is the way you do it, and this is the way you don't do it. It's precepts. The commandments of men. Are all commandments of men bad? Absolutely not. Do you think it's a good commandment when you tell your small child not to touch something hot? Don't touch the stove when it's on, son. Is that a good commandment? That's a very good commandment. Is that driven by love? Absolutely, it's driven by love. Only a sadistic weirdo would say, go touch the stove when it's hot, son. Well, that person ought to be slapped around a little bit. Sorry, I got away from myself there. Anyways, get back to it. What is C3 not? It is not a program that is powered by precept. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've heard this line. Well, if you'll just listen to me and do what I tell you to do, you'll be just fine. You ever heard that before by anybody? Some of you probably heard that. And in some cases, you might say, well, that's wise. Now, especially for children, it's a real good idea to listen when your parents say that. That's why God gave you parents. Teenagers, it's a good idea to listen when your parents tell you that's why God gave you parents. But this is not a system of precept. This is not what the C3 is about. It seems like there's a few preachers out there and a lot of churches out there that will say the same message. If you just listen to me and do what I tell you to do, you'll be just fine. That's not what C3 is. That's what I'm trying to teach you this morning, that we are not going to follow this Pharisaical tradition that we see in Matthew 15. That's not what we're trying to do here. I want you to understand, as I try to define and help refine this idea of C3 for our church, it's not something that we're doing just to follow rules. C3 is not powered by the precepts of man. Neither me nor this church can make you the Christian you need to be just by telling you what to do. Does that make sense? I can't make you the Christian you need to be just by me telling you what to do. Listen, you might say, hey, preacher, how can I live a victorious Christian life? Well, that's a long answer. I can't give it to you in a list, can I? I can't say, well, if you'll get up at 6 a.m. every day, read your Bible from 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., and you pray from 6:30 to 7 a.m., then you take a shower, then you brush your teeth, then you do this, then you do that, and you go to work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and I could give you all the list of things, make sure that you're in church every Sunday, make sure you're in church on Sunday night, make sure you're in church on Wednesday night, make sure you're here for Men of Courage, make sure you're there at the Ladies Bible Study. I could give you all the precepts of things to do, and guess what? You could follow every single one and still miss out on a relationship with God. Is that true? Amen. That's very true. Do you think you could do some of those things or even all of those things and increase your relationship with God? Sure. But the principle is not powered by precept. I'm trying to explain that maybe in a better way, that the things I tell you to do don't necessarily result in success or accomplishment. And C3, being the church that God wants us to be, is not something that we can just say, well, do this, do that, sign up for this ministry and sign up for that ministry and get involved in this and get involved in that, and you're going to be magically there. You can attempt to communicate, to connect, and to care 7 days a week and be unsuccessful in the end. You can follow every action point that I give and sign up for every ministry we offer, but you can still be woefully underpowered when it comes to doing those things. It is not powered by precept. You'll never receive the power to fulfill these spiritual actions by plugging into a carnal outlet. That makes sense. I try to get my strength from somewhere. Well, I'm just doing what the preacher said. I'm just trying to do all the stuff to do, and that's your power source. That's what you're plugging into. The stuff, the do, the list, the task list, the check marks. That's your power source. You're gonna be woefully underpowered to complete this task. All right, preacher. You better tell us then, if it's not powered in precept, what is it? In order to be successful in C3, we must not be powered by precept, but powered by grace. Powered by grace. The only way that you are going to be successful in caring, in connecting people to Christ, in communicating for Christ, is to be powered by grace. Turn over to James chapter 4 very briefly. We'll come back to Matthew 15 and look at something else there. But James chapter 4. I encourage you to read the entire chapter of James chapter 4. You'll get a very good idea of what God is talking about in this idea of humility and grace. But to be powered by grace, first of all, it requires humility. It says in verse 6 of James chapter 4, "But he giveth more grace." That's what we want. That's the power and the ability to do God's will. That's what will power us to be able to see C3. "He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I want you to respond out loud. Who does God give grace to? That was okay, but I think we can do better. Who does God give grace to?
The humble.
The humble. That's exactly right. God doesn't give grace to the proud. A lot of times when we fulfill all the task lists and we check off all the action, many times we're a little puffed up about it. Look what I did. Look what I can do. God doesn't give grace to you. You don't have the power to do what God wants you to do. So first of all, to be powered by grace requires humility. It also requires being in submission to God. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We'll go ahead and read the next two verses. It says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." We have to humble ourselves to receive the power of grace. We've got to be in submission to God to receive grace. In other words, you're living contrary to what God says to live, you're not going to receive grace. So, well then, Pastor, it is action-based, isn't it? I have to do all this stuff. Oh, please get this. If you miss everything else, please get this. Being in submission to God is not so much about action that you do, It's a whole lot more about where your heart is in the action that you do. A whole lot more. So if I love God, won't that motivate me toward action? Absolutely. But if you try to do stuff without proper motivation, it can probably just lead to pride, which will eliminate the power source that you need, that grace that God gives. We will never communicate God's love without the grace of God. Please listen. You can't communicate God's love without God's grace. Otherwise, you're trying to do it in your own strength, and it's not going to work. It'll fall flat, and you'll get frustrated. We'll never connect people to Christ without the grace of God, and we'll be unable to effectively communicate Christ without the grace of God. We need God's grace. Sum up this first point. This is not a program that is powered by precept. If you do what I do, we'll be successful. That's not correct. This is a program that is powered only by grace. C3 is powered by grace. If you're going to do these things well, you're going to have to get alone with God. You're going to have to ask for the grace of God, which means you have to get low. You have to humble yourself before God. You have to submit to God. Do things His way, not your own way. Number two, it's not a program powered by precept. C3 is not a program to build our numbers. That's not what it's for. Oh, Pastor, you just want to fill up this church. Why, sure. Sure, if we fill up the church, you know what that means? That means that many more people that we can care for. Amen? That many more people we can connect to Jesus Christ. Amen? That many more people that are out there communicating Christ. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. I'm not against that at all. That's not why we came up with C3. If we had four people in this church, it would be just as important that we follow these three, that we emphasize these three areas. It's not a nifty program that will help boost our numbers. Listen, if I want a big number, we'd give out free hot dogs. That would give us a few numbers. If we want a big number, we'd give out free lobster. Yeah, then we'd get a big old crowd here. That's not necessarily what we're all about, is it? We have to really stop and consider what the church is all about. Is it about getting big? Now, again, I am for reaching more people. That's not what it's all about. It's all about communicating Christ, about caring one for another, about connecting people to Jesus Christ. That's what a church is about. C3 is not supposed to manipulate people to come in these doors and fill up these pews and give lots of money. We're not supposed to trick people into thinking that we are loving when we are not. Can I emphasize that again, please? It is not trying to trick somebody that we are loving them when we're not. Our love must be genuine. Our care must be genuine. When we communicate Christ, it must be genuine. We'll talk about that in the next point, how we do that. It's not supposed to cover up an apathetic heart with a facade of caring. Listen, if you don't care anything about Jesus Christ, that will come out when you try to C3. So I don't really care too much about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And you try to communicate Christ, it'll show. You try to take the action to connect someone to Christ, it'll show. You try to care for someone, it'll show. They'll know that you're caring for the wrong reasons. They'll see that you're not really connected to Lord Jesus Christ, that you don't have the grace of Christ, the power of Christ. It's not a program to build our church. C3 instead is designed to extend God's love. Did you get that? To extend God's love. It's designed to help us focus on the importance of loving God and loving others. What's the first and greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then I want you to respond audibly. The second commandment is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. He says, you know, if you can do these things, if you can do those two things, you've got everything else down. That's my paraphrase of it. But he says, on this hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that was ever said, everything that was ever commanded, if you can honestly do those two things before the Lord, then you've got it down. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to love God. And we're definitely trying to love others, trying to reach others. C3 ought to drive you to love greater. To love greater. To love somebody more than you love them now. You might think, you know, I'm pretty good at loving people. I'm a very caring individual. Well, you should have seen me at the Coal Creek fires. Oh, you should have seen me at the Ridgecrest fires. Oh, you should have seen me when this happened or this flood. I was there. I was putting in. And I commend you for that. I praise the Lord for that. You might say, I've got caring down, preacher. Are you caring? Because that's what you are motivated to do for some other reason. I'm not saying it's bad. You say, I just want to be a good person. I want people to see me as a good person. I want to help make myself into a good person. If that's your motivation. Or are you extending God's love to somebody else? We're not interested in a program to boost numbers. We're not interested in a program to make us look better than we are. What we're interested in is in extending the genuine and real love of God to other people. So, Pastor, how can I extend that if I don't have it myself? Well, that's a very good question. We need to understand God's love ourselves. We'll get to that in a moment. C3 ought to drive you to love greater. The purpose is to follow the principle of 2 Corinthians 5:14. You can turn there if you want, but I'll quote it for you. Or the part of it that I want you to understand. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, constraineth is kind of a weird word, but it's a great word. You know what it means to constrain, right? To kind of press, to kind of move, to kind of motivate, to kind of press into service. It constrains you. Like, I really don't want to go to work, but the thought of my paycheck constraineth me. I don't want to get up. The thought of my kids missing the school bus and not getting to school on time, that constraineth me. The thing that kind of motivates us to get up, maybe we don't really necessarily want to in our own flesh and heart. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You may not even feel like it. It may be that you don't want to help out somebody. And it may be that you do. It doesn't matter. But what are you constrained by? Your image? The hope of something else? I don't know. Or are you constrained by the love of Christ? Do you stop and say, man, because of how much Jesus loved me, I can't help but love other people. Because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. He died and he shed his blood on the cross for me, a sinner. And even if this person has wronged me or done me wrong, they could not possibly have done worse to me than I did to Jesus. Because of how much Jesus loved me, I'm going to love them. Because of how much Jesus loved me, I'm going to care for somebody else. I'm going to be willing to help. I'm going to do it with God's grace. I'm going to do it because of his love. Being powered by God's grace, we will seek to love others as Christ has loved us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Our love isn't supposed to be superficial. It's supposed to be fake. It's supposed to have some ulterior motive. Because Christ's love for you is not superficial or fake, and he didn't have an ulterior motive. He simply loved you. So let's love one another that way. It's not a program to build our numbers. It's a program to extend God's love, if we can even call it that. We're going to look for ways, as we're powered by God's grace and we're seeking to love others, we're going to look for ways to love. We're going to regularly meditate on Christ's love for us. We seek to love others. How can I, preacher, how can I be motivated to love other people as Christ loved me? How do I do that? That's a great question. It really is. You ought to ask it in your own mind. How? You need to stop and think on his love for you. Stop and think on his love for you. That ought to be a part of your daily meditation. Meditation, that sounds kind of weird, like you're cross-legged and moaning or something. No. Meditation simply means to think, to revolve around in your mind, to consider. Stop and consider his great love for you. Nah. That doesn't really apply to me. I'm good without God's love. Let me assure you, my friend, you are not. Not any of you are without his love. Not any of you are without his care. Not any of you are without his sacrifice. He died for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe that you're here and you're excited to be in church, and I'm thankful that you came, and I'm so glad to have any of our guests that are with us. Maybe you're a church member that's been coming for a long time and you've been doing the church thing for a while. But so, you know, I've never understood Christ's love on the cross. Let me explain it very briefly to you. The Bible says every one of us were created by God. We're his people. The sheep of his pasture, it says. He created you and he created me. As far back as the first man and the first woman, we broke God's commandment. We broke God's law. That's called sin. These people sinned and they broke the fellowship, broke the perfect relationship with God. And unfortunately, that relationship can never be restored by us. We can't build a bridge. We can't build a tower. We can't do anything to restore that relationship. But God knew that. And for reasons unknown, except for one word called love, God sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, to earth, lived a perfect life, taught us these wonderful truths. And then he allowed himself to die on the cross. He shed his blood. Why? Because you can't make it to heaven. You can't be right with God unless it's through the blood. He shed his blood and his sacrificial death. He died for you. Because if he didn't die, your sins would take you to that awful place called hell. Whoa, put on the brakes. What about that? Well, because that's where all those who rejected Christ go. And by your sin, you've rejected Christ too. Well, that's not very fair. I mean, that's just kind of the way that I was. I can't possibly not sin. I agree with you. And that's why it took an incredible act of love for God to come down and make a way for you to be saved. When he died on the cross, he literally gave you a key that he's offering to each and every person today. It says, if you will come by the way of the cross, if you will call on Jesus Christ, if you'll put your trust in me for salvation instead of any other thing that you might consider, some religious system, some tradition of men, some idea or thought that you have, or nothing at all, maybe you're just imagining this all nothing, if you'll believe what I've said and you'll call out to me for salvation, I will save you from your sin. Not only will you miss hell, but you'll have a relationship with God. And you'll experience the love of Christ. He says, and then he continued. He said, now if you're saved and if you're a child of God, when you receive that love from me, I want you to share that love with others. And that's what we're talking about today. That's how it all connects. If you're not saved today, I want to urge you at the end of this service, or even right now where you sit, to call on Christ to save you. Ask him. Say, I believe everything that you said, Jesus. I believe that I'm a sinner and that my sin has separated me from you. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that if I put my trust in you, you'll save me, make me right with God, and I'll live in heaven forever. Call out to him and ask him to do that. So first of all, C3 is not a program powered by precept. Second of all, it's not a program to build our numbers. Then lastly, C3 is not really a program at all. What do you mean? C3 may be able to be called a program in some aspects, but in its entirety, it's not a program at all. It is not a special push. It's not a temporary emphasis. It's not a craze, a fad, or a popular trend. It's not a set of precepts or a list of rules. What is C3 then if it is not a program? It is an outflowing of God's love in us. See how it's all connected now? See how it's all connected? That we're supposed to be an extension of God's love, but that doesn't happen magically. It happens through a connector, through a person. At C3, we receive God's love. We understand God's love. We live in God's love. And then it's an outflowing of God's love to others. That's what C3 is. That's how we care. That's how we connect. That's how we communicate. That's what it's about. We will not be successful at C3 unless we are, please get this, daily growing in the love of God. Daily growing in the love of God. You must daily seek to know God. Throughout your day, seek to know God. If we're going to be able to communicate Him, to connect people to Him, and to care for others as He would, we need to seek to know Him. C3 isn't really as much a program as it is a purpose statement. C3 shows us the goal, the product. But like every product, C3 has a process. We get to see the product. Oh, we know what it'll look like. It'd be so great to see us connecting to people. It'd be so great to see God's love being shown. It'd be so great to see Christ communicated. Man, we can visualize that. We want the product. If you want the product, you also want the process. Man, when I look at an Olympian, say, man, wish I had a body like that guy. Wish I could run as fast as that guy. Wish I could pole vault like that guy. Wish I could do things like that guy. I want that product. Well, if you really want the product, then you want the process too. You want to swim like Michael Phelps? Better spend a lot of time in the pool. That guy's got a crazy workout routine. He also has some distinct physical advantages over most people. But the point remains the same. If I want the product, I must submit to the process. If I want C3, if I want to see God's outflowing through me, I want to have that heart of love, I want to share Christ with others and communicate and care and connect, I want that, then you must also want the process. What's the process, preacher? You better tell me. All right? The process is knowing God, seeking to know God. It's kind of what we talked about in James chapter 4. about seeking God's grace. It is humbling ourselves in the sight of God. It is submitting to His will. It is drawing nigh to Him, and He draws nigh to us. It is literally your daily walk with the Lord. Not enough. And just like C3 isn't a power by precept, neither is your walk with the Lord. That's not powered by precept. I read my Bible today. I prayed today. I spent 10 minutes meditating today. It's not powered by precept. It's powered by grace. When you get in God's Word, would you look for God in His Word? Would you get to know who He is? Underline the parts where you see the personality of God. This is who He is. Get to know Him. Stop and consider and meditate. Revolve in your mind who God is, how great He is. Fall in love with God. Be aware of His love for you. Be overwhelmed with His love for you. And then take that love and let it outflow. Let it flow out through your life. That's the process. I want the product. I want to see our church do great things in our community. But I'm here to say this. That will not happen unless all of us submit ourselves to the process of walking with God. We must walk with God. We must seek to know Him. We must desire to know Him. We must walk to people. We must increase our relationship with God. The process involves you drawing close to God through prayer, through Bible reading, through meditation. Absolutely. It is you sharing the love of Christ as you are actively seeking to know Christ. A discipler can't disciple somebody unless he's familiar with the subject matter, correct? You wouldn't send your child to a teacher to learn about geometry if that teacher did not know anything about math, now would you? Of course not. You would say, I want to hire a good basketball coach for my son. I think I'll take this swimming coach. He can probably teach my son a lot about basketball. Chances are, nope. Instead, you go to someone who's familiar with the subject. Listen, if we're supposed to share the love of Christ, we're supposed to tell people about Jesus, we must be familiar with our subject. We must understand Christ. We must get to know Him, get to know God, get to know the God of the Bible, get to know Jesus Christ. And I promise you, you will never be disappointed with what you find. Amen? It's true. And as you get to know Jesus Christ, you won't be disappointed. You'll be amazed, utterly amazed at who He is, and you'll want to tell someone else. C3 becomes possible. Communicating Christ, we can do that. We understand who Jesus is. We're familiar with Him. Connecting others to Christ, that's all we'll want to do. I've met people who are ambassadors for some product or another. I have friends, many of you know them too. They're down south, but they're Plexus ambassadors. Anybody heard of Plexus before? Raise your hand, I want to see. Yeah, some people have. I tell you what, they are always talking about Plexus. They love that, man, Plexus did this for me, it did that for me. I'm not against Plexus at all. I'm just making a comment. People who love their product and love the change that it made in them will tell everybody else about it. They want to connect everybody to Plexus because they say how Plexus works wonders in their life. That's great. I'm not against it. I'm not for it. That's just something I've noticed. Somebody else might do the same thing. There are certain things. Talk about certain brands. I say, hey, you know, what brand do you use for this? What brand do you use for that? I might say, well, I don't know. I just kind of use this because of what I figured on. Maybe someone else said, no, let me tell you why I use this. I want to connect you to this brand that I use. I want to connect you to this particular, this model that I use because this is excellent. You really want to get this. I talked to my friend about tools. I said, hey, the other day I said, I want to get a router. What brand should I look at? He said, well, here's the brand you don't want to look at. I tried it and it didn't work. He said, here's the router. This is a good brand, but it's probably too expensive for you, because you're not going to use it as much as I would. He said, but here's a really good brand for you. He connected me with that brand because he knew something about it. He was passionate about it. Friends, same things for us. We must know Christ. C3 is not a lot of things. It is not powered by precept. It's powered by grace. It's not a program to build our numbers. C3 is supposed to help us extend God's love. It's not really a program at all. Rather, it's an outflowing of God's love that is in us. There's also a lot of other things we could say that C3 is not. But I will say this, that C3 is the product of a man or a woman who chooses to walk with God and live out God's love. So I want to encourage you, this sermon, Lord willing, I believe this will be my last sermon on C3 for a little bit. We'll get into the idea of We'll get into the subject matter of Genesis next week. I'm looking forward to that. But I want to leave you with this thought today. I hope that you desire to be a person who is walking with God. And if you can establish a relationship with God, if you can live out God's love, this will come natural to you almost. This is what we're emphasizing as far as the mission statement. We know this is what we know this is the product. But we must focus on the process in order to have that product. And C3 is the product of a man or a woman who chooses to walk with God about God's love. I want to encourage you today to make the decision to be just that. It may be that you've been okay with the Lord. You've been all right, but you haven't been growing in a little while. I'm going to encourage you to get on your knees today or bow your heart and your head and to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to start being serious about my walk with you. I don't want to just have a mediocre Christian life. I don't just want to have an okay Christian life. I want to be the person that your love will outflow through me. I want to be that person. I'll say, I feel like I love the Lord, but I can never talk about Christ. Maybe it is I need to be more familiar with Christ, more passionate about Christ. Would you ask the Lord to do that for you? Say, Lord, I'm humbly submitting myself to you for your grace to be able to talk about you, to communicate you, to care for others, to get out of my comfort zone. Whatever it is that God's touched your heart about tonight, I hope that you'll respond, or this morning, I hope that you'll respond to him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is a time of